How's it going, everybody? It is once again me, Chuy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by my girlfriend, Monica.
I just burped. hi, guys.
So Monica made her, making her presence knowledge, what is it, like, known here?
Known, yeah, with my burp.
Yeah.
Hello, world.
So, Monica, tonight we are continuing with our series of Halloween special episodes, and we are reviewing another one of the OG classics from the 80s, which is none other than A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Woo!
So, before we talk a little more about that, let's go ahead and tell our listeners about our social media accounts. So, we have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
Awesome. And we have our TikTok, which is Myths Behind Legends. We have actually our Linktree has all of our links, and it's linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds. You can find everything under Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, our online store, etc. So we also have our infamous website, which is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Woo!
Awesome. So, Monica, quick impressions on this movie. What can we tell our audience that we're going to be discussing about?
Johnny Depp's in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very, very young Johnny Depp. There's one scene that was literally all blood, and it was the best. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way that the human body holds that much blood, but it came out. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I hadn't seen it in a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, solid movie.
Awesome. Me either. I haven't seen this movie in a while. I tend to see him once a year, pretty much, maybe around this time, because that's when I watch
spooky season.
That's when I watch more scary movies, and it's not really spooky season if I don't watch the classics, dude. I feel like I'm missing out on something. I don't have cable right now. I used to have cable, and I would have AMC's Fear Fest on, like, the entire time that I was here in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like a part of me is missing because I don't have that anymore, but I can always turn to my DVD collection or Netflix or whatever. So as for myself, I like this movie a lot. It's, again, one of the classics. I didn't actually see it until I was about maybe about 10 years old. So, mid-90s. Okay. I actually saw the later ones first, before the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a favorite of mine. And, yeah, let's go ahead and take a little break and come back with our critique slash discussion of A Nightmare on Elm Street. Woo! Okay, so we are now at our critique slash discussion segment, Monica, and do us the honors. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of this movie or after watching this movie?
Freddy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just Freddy.
What about him? I was waiting for you to elaborate.
Elaborate.
Yeah, I was like, is there anything else?
I mean, the that's from that one, right?
No, it's Jason, dude. No, this one has those creepy little girls jumping in the rope.
Oh, right. That's true. Yeah. So I remember, I don't remember which one it was that I watched, where they showed the origin story of Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been Freddy versus Jason. Honestly, I don't remember. But I remember watching this one like the other day, and I was just like, she was telling her daughter, oh, yeah, a bunch of us kids went over there, and then she was like, yeah, the parents took care of it, honey, so don't worry. And I'm like, I thought you were a kid when you lit him on fire. I was like, were you the kid or were you the adult? But I don't know if I just heard it wrong, you know? Like, I don't know. But I was like, this lady is full of lies. Like, she's the worst.
It might have been because I just watched it yesterday. And unless I missed it, I didn't think I heard her say that she was a kid. I think that she was talking about Freddy as being a child killer. But I think she was younger than she was in that movie. So from what I gather, the death of Freddy happened in the past, maybe no sooner than 10 years before. So I think that Nancy was either a baby or she hadn't even born yet, because Nancy's supposed to be 15 in this movie.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that right in a minute. But, yeah. But that's, I mean, I'm guessing this happened when she was either a baby or when she wasn't even born yet. So this lady's, let's say, give or take, 40 years old.
Okay.
She would have been like in her early 20s when the Freddy thing happened. So
that makes sense.
So that's maybe why, that's why she thought, like, it seemed like she was like a kid, quote unquote, or whatever, because she would have been young, like a lot younger than she is in this movie when that happened.
Yeah. But we all know that that's a lie. You literally did a modern day witch hunt on this man without even knowing the facts. Like,
okay, bitch. Let me ask you this. Did you watch the new one, the remake, or the old one? Because the plot points you're talking about happened in the remake, I think.
I watched the old one, the one with Johnny Depp. They don't mention it in this movie, but I'm saying I've seen it in another one.
Oh, like in the future?
Yeah, in the future. Okay. They say, yeah, like, in another movie in the future, they say, because they've made so many, dude. Just like with, like, mm-hmm. Jason, right? So, like, they, in one of the movies, the most modern ones, they explain the story of Freddy Krueger. Like, what happened, and the reality was that these people literally lynched him, or like killed him, set him on fire off of a rumor, and this man died, he was innocent, and then like that's why he haunts all these people and why he hates teenagers, because they're the ones who killed them. Teenagers lit him on fire. Well, basically younger people. Kids, really, but yeah.
I seem to remember that happening in the remake, dude. For some reason. I haven't seen the remake, and I only saw it one time, and I didn't like it, so I never watched it again.
But the stories are connected, though, right?
I don't know, because, I mean, that's the whole point of a remake, I think, is to kind of do a retelling of the story. So, I do know that the origin of the 80s Freddy Krueger was that he was born because his mom was abused by maniacs in an asylum.
Uh-huh.
And then when allegedly he grew up, and he grew up all messed up in the head because he's the son of somebody like that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And in one movie, I think it's Freddy's Dead, I think it's called, the movie's called Freddy's Dead, where they show that he grew up like abusing animals, and I don't know if it was his dad or stepfather that abused him.
Mm-hmm.
So he grew up in a broken home or something like that, and he started killing little like hamsters and stuff like that. So I don't know if I haven't seen either one of those movies in forever, so I might have my stories mixed up, or I don't know what.
I'm gonna have to rewatch everything, because now I need to know, like, do I have the story right, or am I like blaming this chick for no reason? Because yeah. I think I saw a different version of it. She didn't say the full truth, and then the daughter ended up getting it out of her later, and she's like, "We killed him. You don't have to worry about him." It's like, he's in her dream. Like, how the fuck are you gonna stop him? Just because you burned him a couple years ago doesn't mean that he's not haunting these kids. Like, come on.
Yeah, so, where's it going with this? I don't know. Oh, yeah.
I don't know either. Yeah.
Yeah, well, to me, what I think of when I think of these, I think of the 80s, being a child.
Yes.
Because, like I said earlier, I watched the later movies first before I watched the original. I think the first one that I ever watched was Part 4. And then from there, I remember watching Part 4 in my house. We had some sort of family barbecue or party or something. My parents did. Because a lot of my cousins were there. And we were watching this movie, and we were all terrified. And I must have been about 7 or 8 when I saw that Part 4. And what I want to say right now is, you know, it's a little bit of a side plot here, side point. But I miss that feeling of being a child. and watching a movie and be scared of a movie like that.
Oh yeah, me too. I don't get scared anymore. It's sad.
I mean, of course, you grow up and life jades you or makes you just not
indifferent or unafraid. It's like, oh, there could be worse things, like not paying my electricity bill.
Yeah, getting my car repoed because I missed my
payment, my payment. Mm-hmm. Getting fired. Yeah,
exactly. So
that's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now speaking about this movie specifically, a couple of things that we can talk about from behind the scenes, not so much from the movie itself, but basically this movie, my friend, was the first major movie by this movie studio, which is New Line Cinema.
Oh, cool.
And this studio was on the verge of bankruptcy before this movie came out.
Damn, pretty saved them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Ironic. So then they said that New Line Cinema became known as the house that Freddy built.
Ooh, nice.
So I think that's pretty cool. And
that is cool.
Going back to those creepy little girls that little nursery rhyme, and we're kind of jumping up and down all over the place, but it's all gonna connect. Trust me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have some sort of
eventually
master plan to all this. Oh, allegedly, but I remember being creeped out by stuff like that. I mean, now it's still mm-hmm. a little creepy. Like now, I saw it like again like yesterday, a couple days ago, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, that's creepy. Just little girls singing a creepy little nursery rhyme, and while they're jumping rope.
Yeah.
So you gotta wonder, like, it's little details like that that make a movie or that kind of add to the whole vibe of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do, my friend, if you came across a group of children jumping rope in the street and singing this nursery like out loud?
Walk in the other direction. I'm not going anywhere near them. I'm leaving. Deuces, bye. Better not follow me. See, the thing, like, this always happens. People, okay, in movies specific, especially these 80s or these slasher movies, like, dude, if something creepy is happening, why would you go explore to see what it is? Like, no, go home, lock your doors, lock your windows, go to your room and hide. Like, you're just putting yourself in danger. Like, how do these people not have common sense? Like, because I know in other, like, you know, what are they called? Not dimensions. They have to have scary movies. So do these people not learn lessons? Like, I've learned a lot of lessons. Like,
well, actually, they do because and when the guy is or I don't know, there's a scene in which one of them is watching one of the Evil Dead movies.
Dude, did he not learn from those movies that they watch? like, oh, hey, is that you, Brady? Oh my god, what are you doing? It's not funny. You're scaring me. Of course it's not him, dude. Like, you're gonna die.
I wonder, like, I mean, but again, all this stuff is the little details that make the movies. So,
yeah,
I've asked you this question before. Why do you think that these things are always used? Like, why is that such a trope?
Because people are stupid.
But so you think that people in real life would actually behave like this?
Yes. There's a lot of dumb people out there, dude. Yeah. I mean, people still die every day. So yeah. Don't give people rides. There's a reason why there's a sign outside prisons, like the roads that are close to prison.
Uh-huh.
Any person with common sense, knowing that there's a prison nearby, there's a sign there. Why the hell would you pick up hitchhikers? Why would you do that? But they have to put up a sign because it's happened before and that's how people die. And they're like, please do not pick up hitchhikers. Like, duh. Like, come on, dude.
It's like, do not drink this rat poison, please.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it's...
people are stupid. So yeah, that would definitely happen in real life.
This is, I mean, not in my part at least, not in any way, shape, or form a criticism of these movies, because, I mean, the movies are what they are. They're movies.
Yeah.
So... it's the question of does the movie reflect reality, or is reality getting inspiration from the movies, because I mean, I like you said, I've noticed people do, you know, things that are not very intelligent or they commit stupidities, so to speak, you know. So yeah. But going back to the something that's about the origin of this whole movie, it's kind of a known fact by now that Wes Craven is the creator, of course, the creator of the story and the characters and all that. But he got the story from a case that allegedly happened in real life, in which a few Asian immigrants arrived to the U.S. and they were all about in their early 20s, maybe. And they all passed away from some weird condition in which they claimed that they didn't want to go to sleep because they were afraid of their nightmares. And so eventually they would fall asleep and they would die in their sleep. And they would wake up screaming, but or, you know, the first couple of times, but then eventually they would actually pass away.
Wow.
So
that's intense trauma, dude.
So, I mean, now, these people were escaping, I believe, from Vietnam or some Asian country like that, where they had a whole bunch of conflict and war, so they had seen a lot of things, I guess, you know. A lot of violence and a lot of things that you don't want to see in your life.
Yeah.
And so all these people were from that region. I can't remember which country they're exactly. I don't know what. Maybe Vietnam, but I'm not sure. So all these people came from that country or that region, and they got here to the U.S., and when they got here, eventually they developed this condition, and they all passed away.
Damn.
Now, the doctors actually call this Asian Death Syndrome. That's what it became. And I don't think it's ever happened again, at least not that I could find in the course of my mini research here. But can you imagine having a nightmare so intense that it actually causes someone to pass away?
That's crazy, dude. Like, what did you go through? Like, to give you, basically give yourself a heart attack.
Essentially.
From the trauma. That's what it is, yeah.
Heart attack or a stroke, maybe. I mean, they couldn't explain how or why these people died. They just died. From fear, apparently. From fright, yeah. From terror.
Probably tortured or something.
So,
horrible.
That's pretty intense. So that served or that helped Wes Craven to develop
the movie.
The ideas. I mean, there's a couple other things, but this is the main thing. I mean, essentially, that's the plot of the movie: people falling asleep and they don't want to fall asleep because something or someone is chasing them in their dreams, and then they die. So, what do you think of that plot? Is that something that would be scary to somebody right now in the modern climate?
The people dying in their sleep?
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, especially if you can't explain it. That's kind of scary.
Is there any movie recently that's done something similar to this? I mean, not. I'm sure there is something like that around. But I can't think of any right now. Or, I mean, of course, the more recent example, and when I say recent, I mean the past 20 years. Freddy versus Jason, that's the last one that I think I mean, of course, the remake was 2010, but the remake, I think the remake is kind of its own thing.
Okay.
Going back to the little discussion we had a little bit earlier. But I don't know, dude. It's kind of weird. And I'll share a nightmare that I had when I was a kid. Because that to me was, I think it still is the scariest dream I ever had. I was a kid. I was maybe like 7 or 8 years old. And I remember I saw myself walking down my house, down the hall. It was at night. It was dark. The house was dark. And so I heard noises coming from the kitchen. And me being like the people in the movies, I hear noises and I decide to explore the house, see what's going on.
Oh, no, kidding.
See, I'm telling you, this all connects. So the house is dark. My brothers are asleep. I hear my brothers both like snoring, whatever. They're fast asleep. I step out of the room and I keep hearing noises and I see a light that comes from the kitchen. And it's kind of just spilling into the living room. So the entire house is dark except for the kitchen, and the light from the kitchen is you can see it in the living room. So and I hear noises in the kitchen. And I'm walking down the hall and I hear somebody talking and I recognize the voice. It's my mom. Right? And she sounds angry for some reason. So I am walking down the hall and I get to the kitchen door and her back is turned to me. She's cutting something. Like as if she's making dinner. Right? And she was wearing, I'm getting shivers just thinking about it. She's wearing like night clothes, you know, so like sleepwear, I guess, you know, like long pajamas and like a shirt, you know. And her hair looks all kind of messed up and like she's just woke up herself. And I hear like the knife cut on the cutting board, like you know, like that, like going like really intense, and she's talking to herself. And I'm like, "Mom." And she stops. I'm like, "Mom, what are you doing? Like, it's late. What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And she turns around. She's holding the knife, dude, and it's her face, but it's not her face. Because, I mean, it's her face. It's her features. But I've never seen that expression in my mom's face before, like in real life. She looks like really angry and like demented, and her mouth is kind of like in a snarl. And she screams at me, "What are you doing up? You should be asleep right now." She's like shaking the knife at me, and she starts coming at me, and I'm like, "Whoa, I just want to woke up, dude." So I still get shivers thinking about that dream. And the point was that I was, like the characters in the movie, stupid and walked in the hall when I shouldn't have. So, have you ever had a dream like that where something happens where you think it's real life? Because I thought I was in real life. I thought I was awake. I was walking down my house, down my hall. The exact way that my house looked back then when I was a kid, that's the house that I saw myself walking down. And that's when I heard the noises, the kitchen, my mom was there and everything. So I thought I was awake. Like in the Freddy movies. And this is, I think, before I even saw any of the movies. So I can't say that I was inspired by watching these movies. Have you ever had a dream like that where it feels like real life, but it's not really real life?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I have really vivid dreams, but I guess I was never aware in the dream that I was in a dream. I don't know. But yeah. I mean, I've dreamt of my sister being possessed. And I've dreamt that, like, I got shot and I could feel it. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy, dude.
It is crazy. And we shall talk more about this after this little break. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right, so now talking about more details from the movie itself. I found some information that that creepy nursery rhyme that was talked about, the 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. Well, that one was allegedly created by the guy that was Nancy's boyfriend in real life, Heather Langenkamp, the actress.
Okay.
So he invented this little nursery rhyme, and they ended up using it for the movie. The music, like, in general, I think the music in this film is pretty cool. It's got a really 80s synthesizer, like really aggressive sound.
Oh,
to it.
Yeah.
It's not really cheesy. It's kind of really aggressive. It's really abrasive and like really, like, not techno either, but it's just kind of weird. And I like it. I like it a lot. I can't remember the name of the composer, sadly. So kudos to you, sir, for, or ma'am, for writing this music. But now, speaking of Nancy, people that auditioned for this role, besides Heather Langenkamp, included Demi Moore.
What?
Jennifer Grey, who, I get her confused. Who is the one that came out in Dirty Dancing? Is it her or Jennifer Beals?
I have no idea.
I get them confused. I'm so, like, I can't think straight right now. But, well, Jennifer Grey, I think she was either in Footloose or in Dirty Dancing, one of those two. And none other than Courtney Cox.
Ooh, wow.
Your tocaya from Friends, Monica.
Oh, yeah.
Who eventually ended up working with Wes Craven in Scream.
Yes.
So, can you picture anybody else playing this girl? Any of these ladies?
Playing the
Nancy, the main girl.
The final girl. The main girl? Not really, no.
Can you imagine Courtney Cox playing her?
No, I couldn't. Because, dude, I see Courtney Cox and she's just a baddie. Like, I can't picture her being, like, this little vulnerable chick, you know, like,
I mean, it may sound weird, but when I think of her, I think of Monica from Friends.
Yeah, I mean, me a little bit mixed up. It's because she always plays these strong characters. Like, O sea, de carácter fuerte, you know, like it's
Yeah.
not like she can be vulnerable, but like it's not like she's helpless. Like she could kick some ass if she wanted to, like in
Yeah.
all her characters.
And what about the guys? So for Glenn, the role of Johnny Depp.
He's a dumbass, dude. Like she specifically asked him not to fall asleep. He had one job. One job. And homeboy fell asleep both times. And the second time he f***ing died. Like he should, because he's an idiot. But it's like, dude, you know, our generation, well, my generation, like, we'd stay up till the sun came up playing video games, you know, and we did at school, you know, it's not like we didn't, you know, run or were not in sports or whatever. We did all that and we stayed up till the
Yeah.
sun came up. Like, how did these people fall asleep so easily? Like, no, and a guy, like a guy, a jock, like, dude, come on, like.
A different time, dude. They had no concerns about
I
life.
guess boomers.
Essentially, I mean,
Yeah.
I think his parents would have been boomers. He would have been a Gen X, I think.
Yeah.
But,
That's right. That's right.
or I don't know, somewhere around, because if he's 15 in 1984, he would have been born in 1970, roughly. So.
But they had games back then though. They had Atari. They had Tetris. Like, why didn't they do something like that? You know, like Snake on the Nokia phones. Like, why didn't he play video games? Like, hello.
It's what do you call it? The plot's convenience, you know, they had to make him fall asleep somehow.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't make any sense. Not in real life
I was
at
gonna say that
all.
to you, like I was never able to sleep. I mean, I would sleep early-ish when I was a kid. I would go to sleep around 10 or 11 when I was like a kid, like 7 or 8 years old.
Not
But
a
as soon as
teenager.
I hit middle school and high school, dude, I became an insomniac. To this day, I can't sleep earlier than like 2 or 3 in the morning. I can't.
I mean, well, like, I mean, I've always loved sleep.
Yeah.
I sleep all the time. But when I was a kid, you know, we would stay up really late playing Super Mario Brothers, you know, like on the Nintendo, like, or especially my brother. That's what I'm saying. Like, a guy fell asleep, like,
Yeah.
In the room of your girlfriend, like, also, like, nerves? Hello? Like, are you not nervous? Like, you're like, how would you be able to sleep if you're, you know, you want to protect your chick? Like, no,
Yeah.
dude.
Well,
So many plot holes.
now, of course, based on your statements, you're definitely not a fan of Glenn.
No, he's a dumbass.
I thought
And
he
he deserved
was.
to die.
I mean, yeah, I guess in a way, but but some of the actors that were considered to play Glenn, besides Johnny Depp, let me see if you recognize any of these names, my friend.
A ver.
Charlie Sheen,
Okay.
John Cusack,
Huh. Okay.
Brad
Nah.
Pitt.
Brad Pitt maybe, but John Cusack would not be the football player jock. No.
How about Kiefer
Not at
Sutherland?
that time. Isn't he too old for that
He
role?
would have been. But we'll talk
Yeah,
about that in
too
a minute. Just give
much.
me, but just
Yeah.
bear with me here. And
No, I can't see Kiefer Sutherland.
last but most certainly, definitely not least, none other than Mr. Nicolas Cage.
No. No. Definitely not. No. El único que te paso, it would be Brad Pitt or what's the first one?
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, yeah. Those two, okay. They'll pass. But the
Can
other dudes, no.
you imagine Nicolas Cage? There's a universe out there somewhere in which Nicolas Cage played Glenn in this movie.
Dude, no. No, I only see his crazy eyes. Like, I cannot see this dude playing like a chill role. Like, no.
I think he would have stayed awake.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And the other girl wouldn't be able to fall asleep with those eyes on her. Hell no. No, he's got crazy eyes.
Yeah, definitely. I think if anything from this list, Brad Pitt would have been okay. I think. Charlie
But
Sheen.
even still, even then, he doesn't fit in that world.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't fit. Like, it's.
No. If
No.
anything, not Charlie Sheen, but his brother Emilio. I think he would have been okay. He would have.
Emilio, yes. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Because Emilio played that guy in The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, he kind of looks like him. Like, he could probably go for it. But also, Charlie Sheen was more of a dorky dude, right? Like, when he was younger, like, he played dorky roles.
Not really. That was more towards the late 80s, early 90s when he started getting dorky. He was more of a brooding type of character in the 80s, early 80s.
Okay. I don't know, man. But no, I think Johnny Depp was a solid choice for that one. Yeah. Like,
and it's all
because he wasn't too jock looking and he wasn't too dorky looking. He was just like
the perfect
happy smack in the middle. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I think it was Wes Craven's daughter that picked him out of everybody.
Nice.
She's the one that's the guy you want. So
yep. He picked good him. Choice. Mm-hmm.
Now, since you spoke about their age, I want to talk about that because, of course, I mean, Charlie Sheen, I think, would have been in his mid-20s by this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the rest of these guys. John Cusack, like, I don't know how old he is, but he would have been probably in his early mid-20s, the man.
Yeah, probably.
I think Brad Pitt's a little bit younger. I think he would have been in his early 20s.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland, I think he would have been about 24 by this. I mean, maybe just more.
Wait, that's the son, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking Donald, and it's actually. Yeah, okay, so Kiefer.
He was in The Lost Boys. He played the vampire. Yeah. Guy, so I mean, but even then,
but still, no.
I mean, all these people would have been, you know, in their mid to early 20s at youngest.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage would have been like, no, that's, I think he, no, but
definitely not.
The point about their ages,
what does he even look like in the 80s, dude?
Yes, look him up in the movie Vampire's Kiss,
okay,
or in what's the other one called? Mermaids, I think he made a movie with Cher called Mermaids or The Mermaid or something like that. It's like a romantic comedy or a drama.
Yeah, definitely not. No. Oh, that's the one where they got the meme from.
Yeah. Yeah, the Vampire's
no,
Kiss.
No, hell no. He cannot be.
All right, so the reason why they... And we talked about this before. Why is it that they picked, like, college people or college-aged people to play high school kids?
Because they think that high school kids are not mature enough. Well, they undermine them.
That's one thing, but I found out that it was also a money issue. Because younger actors had to hire tutors. They had to have somebody hanging out with them. They couldn't be unsupervised. They had to have somebody from their family or somebody the family hired.
Mm-hmm.
To watch over them and catch them up with their schoolwork and make sure that they had to be home at a certain time. They couldn't be out super late at night doing shots because they had to, you know, stay.
Go to school the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that in the long run, that would have cost more money because they would have to delay shoots just for them to be able to shoot the scenes. So
that's why they get older people.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. So... these people are supposed to be 15 in the movie. Nancy looks okay. She can pass for maybe an 18-year-old. Nancy, the main girl. 15 is pushing it, but okay, let's humor that for a minute. Glenn, I think Johnny Depp looks like he could be about 17, maybe 18. I mean that kind of passes. But the other two guys, Tina and Rod, hell no, they look like parents.
Oh yeah, no, they do.
Tina looks like a mom, and this guy looks like a freaking like biker gang guy.
Yeah.
Rod.
Yep.
So I didn't remember that there's, I thought they were supposed to be 18 in the movie because I thought that was the age. But when I saw that after the death, which by the way is an awesome scene, we'll talk about that right now. Tina's death, after her death, they watch like a little movie report, or sorry, a news report in the movie, in which they say the victim is 15-year-old Christina, whatever. Uh-huh. And I was like, I had to pause the movie and I was like, wait, 15?
Yeah.
Because by this point, they had shown her in her underwear.
So they're freshmen and...
Yeah.
Sophomores.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah, so by this point, they had shown her in her underwear. They had shown her, not shown her explicitly, but they had implied. Ugh. They had implied that she had sex with this guy.
Which... They're having sex that... I mean, I guess, but like, 15-year-olds having sex?
I mean, in a movie, mind you. So, I mean, of course we know these things happen in real life. There's no point in trying to pretend that it doesn't, because it does.
guess.
But
you still can't picture 15-year-olds having sex.
No, exactly. Of course, that's not something we want to do. But I mean,
either
I mean, we're just saying that it happens because I mean, of course, there's teenage parents or teenage moms at least.
Right. Yeah.
Which is sad, by the way. It's sad. But my point here is that you couldn't do that these days. You couldn't do a scene like that in which a character is 15 years old and it's like implied they're having sex in a movie. Because no, that's not
no.
They're
minors.
Yeah. So I mean, it just makes you wonder, like, the things that people could get away with in the '80s.
Right.
I mean, like.
Well, I mean, you have Euphoria, the HBO show. Those kids are all in high school and they're doing crazy shit. So.
But they're like allegedly 18-ish, no? Like, I mean, they're seniors, whatever. So that's.
I guess so.
Borderline. Yeah, I mean, it's still not. I don't think it's. Yeah. You know, but it's. So I was watching this and I felt weird watching this movie after the fact. I was like, because now, I mean, of course, the first time that I watched the movie again, I was about 10 years old when I saw it.
Yeah.
And watching it throughout my life, I am now close to being 40 years old. So when I first watched it, I was younger than the characters, and now I'm close to being their parents' age.
Yeah. In real life. Yeah. That's crazy.
So how does that make you feel, knowing that this movie is like 38 years old, 37 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And that you've become an older person watching this movie, and that you will continue to age, and maybe when you're watching in your 40s, you'll be like, ugh.
Yeah, well, now I'm older than the people in the movie. Like,
you're like the parents, you know, like
even the actors. I'm older than the actors, like.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. It's weird watching, like, cause like there's been movies like on Netflix or whatever, right? Like newer movies,
mm-hmm.
and they'll depict like younger people doing the thing, and I'm just like, ew, that's kind of gross, like. Like, I don't want to see that. Yeah,
like creeper factor type of.
Yeah, it's like, I look away, dude. I'm like, okay, I'm not looking at that. Is it over? Can we stop? It just feels wrong to watch those scenes. Like.
Yeah, that was my point. My point was exactly that. It was like, now when I watch movies like this, like when I was a kid, I would get excited because, oh my God, you know.
Oh my gosh, a sex scene.
And now watching the same movie like 20 years later or whatever, like it's like I don't know. it changes your perspective, doesn't it?
Icky, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now going back to Tina and her death scene, I think her death scene's probably my favorite in the movie.
Tina.
The one with the...
That was the first one?
Mm-hmm.
I liked... Who was the one that was like all blood?
That was
Johnny
Glenn.
Depp, right?
Yeah, that was Glenn.
Yeah.
So your favorite is Johnny Depp's death, and mine is Tina's.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite was because it's a cool visual effect, dude. It's a cool scene, like the special effects used for this.
Uh-huh.
The way that she was thrashing in the ceiling and you know just being dragged across the room, and,
mm-hmm.
and then the cuts happen to her skin and she's kind of just bleeding to death, and it is a still, I think, pretty horrifying scene. When I watched it again, just, you know, a couple days ago, whatever, I was like, wow, this scene holds up still to this day, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Exorcist, but, like, with a woman, well, kind of, like, mm-hmm. because she's up in the sky, like, in the ceiling, like.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty crazy.
I think that it's even better than a lot of more modern movie death scenes that I've seen in the past few years, I think. I think this is one of the greatest, I'm not gonna say the greatest because I think there's other ones that are better than this, but I think it's probably the top five for me of death scenes in any movie that I've seen, horror movie at least. So, and but I mean, I also like Glenn's. I was just thinking about, like we said earlier, about the how much blood is there in a human body, and yeah. It is not that much.
No, that's insane. That's too much blood. That's not that. I doubt that that's possible.
So
I was like, no way, because it's like, dude, it was just like gushing. I was like, and the whole room got sprayed, covered in blood. I was like, yeah, no.
It's. No. I mean, and speaking,
we don't
of,
have that much blood.
You know, last week with Mariah, we talked about how Friday the 13th was considered to be one of the bloodiest movies of that year of 1980, or when it came out. This movie came out 4 years after the fact, 1984. And the blood factor is now, like, times a million.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the death scenes are gorier in this, even though I think there's less deaths than in Friday the 13th. There's only 4 people that get killed in this, or 5.
Yeah.
But I think...
But that's the thing that happened. So, like, back then, that was, like, considered a lot. And we've just kept upping it and upping it and upping it and upping it. Like, mm-hmm. And now it's like, now we got a ghost in the mind because regular gory scenes just doesn't cut it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah, but I was thinking about, I mean, considering the amount of blood that we saw on Friday the 13th and the amount of blood mm-hmm. we see in this one, it's 4 years later, but the blood factor has been raised right. by, you know, like a lot.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, or rather relating to this, there was reportedly a number to the gallons of fake blood that was used for the movie. And it is around 500 gallons of fake blood.
That's a lot of corn syrup.
Can you imagine 500 gallons of any liquid?
That's a lot.
And, you know, mixing it with other stuff to make it bloody and or red like blood and...
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that scene was cool, but that scene, the Johnny Depp's and Tina's scene, were shot in the same room. It was just decorated differently. I mean, when I see the same room, it's like the same space. But it was decorated differently, and it looks like the blood is pouring up the ceiling because the room's actually upside down.
Oh.
The room spins, or they would be able to turn the room a certain way to make it look like it was upright.
Uh huh.
But it was actually upside down, so that's why the blood was flowing into the ceiling, quote unquote. But it was actually flowing down.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, same thing with Tina when she was climbing on the ceiling, quote unquote. It was actually the floor.
Uh huh.
So I mean, I think that's pretty ingenious. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty creative. I think. I don't know. So what do you think of the ending when? Well, before we get to that, there's a couple of things that happened right before the ending, which is when, after Johnny Depp dies, Nancy tells her dad that she's going to try to get Freddy Krueger or whatever, and the dad is like, okay, to his deputy or whatever, if you see anything weird in my house, call me. Right?
Yeah.
So then Nancy's like breaking windows and screaming her lungs out, and the guy's like, what's happening? What's going
on? Go back to sleep. And then he's like, oh, maybe I should go call the sheriff. Yeah. Dude! You should have done that a long time ago.
That was my point, dude. I was like, what are you doing, you idiot? Get out.
Sitting there for like 15, 20 minutes, just watching like a dumbass.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I think I better go tell the sheriff about this. And it's like, dude, the girl's been screaming her lungs out for the past 5 minutes.
She broke the glass.
And then when she sets all the booby traps for Freddy, that was kind
of
funny.
Oh, to me. Yeah, it was. It was a very, like, Home Alone type of thing. Like,
yeah. It was Home Alone, but before, like, Macaulay Culkin did it.
I thought it was funny when he, like, the hammer just hit him and something said, oh, like. I was like, this guy's out there murdering people and he just gets his wind knocked out by a hammer. That was really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
I was laughing.
It's funny. It's funny. I thought it was funny. I was laughing too. I mean, I always do when I watch this movie. But I think that was... I don't know if they were planning ahead or not, or what the idea was, but eventually Freddy becomes like a comedic killer.
Oh, yeah.
The not so much in part 2 just yet, but starting in part 3, he starts saying more one-liners. He starts getting all these like quirky like little comebacks and... So he starts developing more of a comedic personality as the series goes on. So I don't know if they were thinking ahead about this or if it just kind of developed over time. But that part of the movie to me was funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When he's getting his ass kicked by the contraptions this girl is making. That I won't. That I do have to say that shotgun show.
Clever.
Yeah, the shotgun show in the lamp. That was cool.
I was like, how does she know all these things? Because there's no Google. There's no books at her disposal that she could just, you know, be like, oh, this is how you build a bomb. Like, no.
Well, actually, there's a scene in which she talks to Johnny Depp, but he catches her reading a book about survival.
I didn't catch that. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's kind of like a throwaway scene. I mean, it's maybe like a 1 or 2 minute scene. he's like, what are you reading that for? Like, she's like, well, cause I'm into survival. I'm in survival mode, whatever. So like, so that was like, you know, how she came to get, you know, acquire yeah. all this knowledge.
Okay, that makes sense now. Like, what? How did she know to put the gunpowder in the light bulb? Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so she
good
read a book.
Know. Good to know.
Okay, she read a book, cool. Man, so
that's where the knowledge came from.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, knowledge is power. So
true. Very true.
So, now, about the ending, for, like, what do you think about the ending?
She died, right? Like, because she was in a dream.
How much of the movie is a dream and how much of it is real, in your opinion?
I don't know.
Because she allegedly pulls Freddy out of the dream world into uh-huh. her house, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So then the cops, her father and the cops come into the house and the house is on fire.
Yeah.
And then they go upstairs and the mom is getting killed by Freddy.
Uh-huh.
And then they disappear into the ether.
Yeah.
Right? Her mom's skeleton, like, goes down the bed, whatever. And then mm-hmm. the bed shuts down and it's like a normal bed. So where did the mom go?
Right.
If this is allegedly the real world, where is the mom? Where'd she go?
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, my opinion is that was still a dream. She never actually pulled Freddy into the real conscious world. I think she was still dreaming.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because especially after, like, you know, when the dad leaves again,
mm-hmm.
and she's alone in the room and Freddy comes back from out of the bed, how can you do that if it's the real world?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he would have been able to do that. I mean, unless he's like a wizard.
No.
But mm-hmm. and then she's like, I don't believe you anymore. He like disappears, like, ah.
Yeah, like, oh my god. See, and then that. In that scene, I was like, oh, he, like, well, yeah, you're right, because it's, like, he pretended to fall because it fit her storyline to make her believe that she was already out of the dream and free.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, and then the next scene after that, where she just walks out of the house, or opens the door,
mm-hmm.
and she's walking out of the house, I'm like, and all the fog, oh my god, there's fog, it's like, you're dreaming, like, this isn't real, this isn't how the day looks on a normal basis.
Yeah, everyone is alive, and they pick her up to go to school, and of course the car is actually Freddy possessing the car, whatever, and like...
Right, he is the car, yeah. And she's just like, have fun, kiddo!
Yeah, and then she gets sucked into the door like a cartoon character.
Yeah. I was like, wow, okay.
So
fake.
In your mind, do you think that the ending was either a dream, or was that real, or is she trapped in the dream world forever, or like what happened?
She's trapped in the dream world forever.
Okay, because eventually, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying like what we see eventually in part three is that Nancy was in fact alive. She survived the events of part one.
Yeah.
She becomes a therapist or a psychologist or something like that, and she's trying to help other kids that are going through the same thing as she did with dealing with Freddy and her in their dreams.
Mm.
So my question would be is that, I mean, I think at the end of the first movie she's still in the dream world, but somehow eventually after she finds a way out.
She wakes up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know, dude. So do you have any other things to add about this movie? Any cool death scenes? Any other dialogue that stuck in your mind?
No, I think we covered it. I mean, my favorite was when Johnny Depp died.
Uh-huh.
There's blood everywhere. Yeah, I think that's it.
I do have a couple more things to mention. I do want to talk about the glove, the Freddy glove. Wes Craven said that he wanted to give his character a unique weapon, so not like a knife or an axe or, you know, anything mundane like that. He wanted something cool.
Mm-hmm.
So he did research and he found that people were scared of animal claws across different cultures. That was the, you know, being attacked by a wild animal was one of the primal fears in humanity, apparently. So he's like, huh, I can maybe make this guy some sort of claw or something that he can kill people with. And the glove was actually made with actual, it was real knives. So they had like a fake one that was plastic, and they had a real glove that was metal, like actual knives. And allegedly, Robert Englund thought the glove was super heavy. The actor that plays Freddy, so that's why he walked kind of like, he was kind of like limping or something, or not limping, but he had like a weird way of walking. When he was wearing the real glove, he felt like the weight was so much on his arm that he was kind of like,
I see.
Like walk, he had to walk that way to compensate, right? So, oh, and the teacher is the lady from Insidious.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Uh-huh. I was like, hey, I recognize that lady.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that scene when she's walking down the hall, and she sees the body being dragged in the body bag. I think that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So that's another scene that I thought was memorable, where she's walking out of the class, and she's washing the body, and like the trail of blood just all over the school. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep. Agreed.
And oh, one last thing before we sign off. The original glove, my friend, is lost in time. Nobody knows where it's at.
Like in real life?
Yeah. Like the prop, the original metal glove.
Yeah.
Allegedly, they used it for part 3 again.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere in the course of the shooting of that film, it got lost. And people think that Robert Englund's manager has it. But they can't confirm that, so...
Wow.
So somebody stole that glove, my friend. I had to make other ones for later movies, but
that's crazy.
In somebody's basement or attic or something, a piece of cinematic history is sitting just hiding somewhere.
That's crazy.
So all right, so if you have no more comments, my friend, I think it is time to give this movie a rating. So I want to say we do Dream Demon Assassins for this. How many out of 10?
Cool. 7.
7. I gave this movie an 8 out of 10 Dream Demon Assassins. Mm-hmm. So that averages to a 7.5, which is not bad. Alright, so that was our critique / review of A Nightmare on Elm Street, and we shall be right back with our closing remarks. Monica, the audience, and myself, we are now at the ending of our podcast episode once again, so the sad face for tonight.
Wah, wah, wah.
So I want to thank everyone that's spent some time listening to us talking about this classic movie from the 80s. If you are a first-time listener, please go back and explore our library of episodes. It is quite vast, and there's a lot of knowledge for you guys to dig into, except for episode 1, do not go near that one. I feel like the old man in the movies that it's warning the younger people, like, don't go there. It's cursed. But this is, in fact, a real-life curse. You will lose your house. You will go, your pets will run away.
Jesus.
Your significant other will drop you. Maybe you want that. I don't know. But anyways, and if you are a repeat listener, thank you very much for coming back and being a faithful member of the EMBO squad. Now, Monica, we did forget one thing. I just remembered. Mm. We did not give Freddy a rating of his own. How many skulls on the scare meter does Freddy get, my friend?
10.
10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to go with 10 also. I'm going with 10. I was going to go with a 10. Blah. Sorry, I was going to go with a 9, but I'm going to go with a 10. So he gets a 10 out of 10 on the scare meter. Nice. So I was going to take away a point because he allegedly, died in like a weird way. But then I thought about that whole thing of him actually not being in the real world. He was actually in the dream world the whole time. So I think he pulled the strings and he made Nancy stay in there for a little longer than she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So that earns him a 10 in my book. And now, my friend, the time has come to ask you this question. If you have any shout-outs for this week.
No.
Alright, so I do have one shout out specifically. I want to give a shout out to the people that are taking part in our Twitter poll. And I forgot to do this yesterday and I feel bad about it. But I remembered to do it tonight and I am disappointed. Because I asked the question, Monica, on Twitter. So, from the unholy trinity of the 80s slashers, who is your favorite? And the options, of course, are none other than Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and the GOAT, Jason Voorhees. So, Michael Myers is currently leading at a whopping 47%, believe it or not.
Wow, interesting.
Freddy Krueger, the subject of tonight's episode, is trailing at a 29%. And my bestie, Jason Voorhees, is dead last at 25%. So, I am disappointed in the Twitter fans. You guys need to vote more for Jason. The only explanation I can find is that somebody gave you guys some mind-altering substances. You're not thinking very clearly. So, Team Jason, you have some time to make up. So, maybe next week I can report on his dramatic comeback and he beat everyone. But yeah, thank you guys for taking part in that. It's cool that you are voting on our polls. And Monica, the subject of next episode, and we have a special announcement, but before we do that, let's go ahead and tell them that we're gonna do Chan 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 Halloween. Right? The OG Halloween, not the remake from Rob Zombie, because no. So the OG Halloween, Monica. Any expectations you may have. You've seen that movie before, have you? Do you enjoy watching that movie?
Yes.
All right, cool. So that should be a fun episode. So that's one of my favorite movies too. And officially, I mean, we haven't said this in our podcast, but we've been, kind of talking about it in social media. We will be taking a break after that episode, so it'll be this one coming out, and then the next one, in which we're gonna talk about Halloween and Michael Myers, of course. And after that, Monica and I are going to go on hiatus for some time. We're thinking of taking a couple of months off to kind of recharge our batteries and think of new format, content, stuff like that to talk to you guys about and keep the podcast fresh. And I will still be publishing stuff here and there as far as episodes, but they won't be full episodes. So we're not going to be, Monica and I won't be talking about any movie or show or anything like that. Rather, it'll be a collection of short interviews or articles that I come across, and I'll be narrating or reading something or something like that, just mini episodes. So it'll be like a special mini season while we gather our strength again and come back strong for the next chapter in the history of EMBL. How do you feel about that, Monica?
Good. Could be a really nice little break for refreshing our brains. That.
I think so. I think we need one. And honestly, last year, I mean, we kind of did that in a way. We recorded like three episodes in a week, and so we could take the month of December off or something like that. So, I mean, we've done that before, but it's the first time that we're actually not gonna do any full-on episodes for the time that we've been doing this podcast. But yeah, I mean, don't fret. We'll come back. We'll come back if not in 2 months, maybe sooner or later. I mean, whatever we feel like doing, but I think we do need at least 2 months. So that'll give us some time to think about ideas for stuff to do and et cetera. So just a heads up, so you guys are not wondering why are they not doing any more full episodes for like the past month or 2 months, whatever.
That is why.
Yeah, and we shall remind you again of that next episode. So speaking of that, let's remind Monica, our listeners, of our social media accounts. So we have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
Awesome. And we have our TikTok, which is Myths Behind Legends, and we have our Linktree, which is under linktree.com/MythsBehindLGDS. You can find all of our links under our streaming on Spotify, on Anchor, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, every social media that's ever been used by us will be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not in the world, but the ones that we use, they're all there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, also you will find our infamous website, which is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com. All right, my friends, so do you have any other final comments on this episode on Freddy Krueger? Any other things that you can mention about him before we sign off tonight?
If your girlfriend tells you not to fall asleep, don't fall asleep.
Sometimes that is easier said than done, my friend. But
if they fall asleep on you, what the f*** are you supposed to expect from them? No. Toss them away. Dump it that. Yeah, no.
I was going to make a somewhat inappropriate comment, but I shall keep it to myself for now. let's just say that it's sometimes fun to fall asleep in somebody, but that, okay. Anyways.
Okay, Chewie. Not in this situation.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
When your life is on the line.
Yeah, of course. No, that's
come
that's,
on now.
I don't know. The adrenaline. But anyways, yes. That was tonight's episode on Freddy Krueger and the OG Nightmare on Elm Street. And we want to wish you guys a great morning, evening. Try not to fall asleep on your significant others, like Monica says, because it's not cool. Stay awake. Stay away from weird people in your dreams that are wearing hats and have knives for hands or fingers. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're so bad for you. So, be good to yourselves, to each other, to everyone around you. And until we see you again, have a good one.
Bye. Thank you.